Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been thinking about His dying for us, and our hearts are deeply moved to think that He cared to the extent that He would give His life that we might be saved. And God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We thank Thee. We pray Thee now that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou wilt help us to understand. Show us the things of Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 27, when we come toward the end of the chapter and have been reading in this chapter the things that were involved in the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the last few verses of the chapter, there is a record of something that we'll notice in passing that would emphasize the great care that was taken to see to it that the body of Jesus Christ should not rise from the dead. I have a feeling that sometimes there are those of us today who have some sort of a notion, somehow, that maybe in those days, back in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody cared much about this. And that actually the idea of His resurrection grew up years later and people talked about it. But this particular incident, reported here as it is, should make it clear to us that even in the time, at the time it happened, it was well understood that He had said He would rise from the dead the third day. And we see here that there were certain men who were sure it couldn't be true, wanted to make real sure it wouldn't be pretended. So in the Gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 27, beginning at verse 62, we have this simple record of the steps that were taken to make real sure that there wouldn't be any hoax perpetrated, there wouldn't be somebody pretending something wasn't true to the public. Reading now in chapter 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, that would be also the crucifixion of the Lord, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. It means they left a detail of soldiers there who were actually on guard to see to it that nobody would open this cave and take out the body. I'm impressed by that to some extent, because what that speaks to me is this, that whatever word that went out in Jerusalem about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you right now, there were people there that did their best to keep that thing from happening. In other words, anyone that's going to suggest to me that that was just a notion, just an idea, is going to be face up with the fact that this is included in the text. The actual record that was presented here of how those people in that time tried to make sure it wouldn't happen. I'm inclined to think that in a kind of a backward way, this makes me all the more sure that the body was actually raised from the grave and that the grave actually was empty. Because I want to tell you, if it hadn't been, there would have been many, many people in Jerusalem that would have been quick to point out the fallacy of any claim that wasn't true. They'd have found it out. And now we come in chapter 28 to something else. We have, through chapter 27, been watching the end of the earthly career of Jesus of Nazareth. And it ended in a dark day of bitter rejection. And then we can feel that there settled over an indifferent Jerusalem a kind of a black pall of the day after, with some steps taken by his enemies to make real sure there wouldn't be any false rumor get out about his being raised from the dead. But on the third day, we've got something else, something quite different, and something I don't think that I will need to have very much to say about. Actually, I think this will speak for itself. I want to read it to you first of all. It's in Matthew 28, and I'll begin to read it the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. This is the simple, direct, narrative account of exactly what happened. But how suggestive this is. In that first verse, by the way, when you read these words, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. The end of the Sabbath, this brings to our mind that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was on the first day of the week, and that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, the Jewish Sabbath. And by common consent in the course of history, Christians have made the first day of the week what we now call the Lord's Day. And also in our calendar, it's Sunday. And this is accepted by us as the Christian Sabbath. And by the way, you shouldn't be too disturbed if someone tells you the Sabbath should be the seventh day. The seventh in the series is just, I think, a matter of custom. The seventh in proportion is the spiritual truth. There was a seventh year as there was a 40th year. In other words, there were Sabbath years as well as Sabbath days. And the Sabbath days didn't always have to be only the seventh day. Any day of rest was a Sabbath day, but the word Sabbath does come from seventh, and the seventh can be the seventh in proportion. What I'm meaning to imply to you is that while the Jewish people observe the Sabbath day on Saturday, that the Christian church, generally speaking, observes the Sabbath day on Sunday. Each of them observe a day of rest. Each of them observe one in seven. But the Christians, for a reason, I think, of this very record we have here, have made the first day in the week the Sabbath day. It was the day on which the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. As it began to dawn, isn't that an interesting thing? As it began to dawn, don't you just feel the dark night that has been settling down through the latter part of the Lord's work on earth? It got darker and darker and darker until he was put to death on the cross. Now it begins to dawn, because the Lord Jesus doesn't stay on the cross. This is the glory of the Christian gospel. That he died, yes. But that he rose again, that's got saving power. And this is what we have here. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And one more time let us consider Mary Magdalene. Last at the cross, first at the grave. And the Lord has seen fit to allow the woman, Mary Magdalene, the saved sinner, the woman of the street, the woman out of whom went seven devils, to her belongs this peculiar, special honor. She stood on guard when he died. She was there when he rose. And behold, there was a great earthquake, just like you read it. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. We have pointed out before, so far as the word angel is concerned, that it is used to designate a messenger. Now, this one apparently would be sufficiently like a man that he could be seen in that fashion. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. By the way, the keepers were not believers. There was something about his manifestation which was open to be seen by all people. Rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was impressive, his countenance like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And the effect upon those around him was great. They became as dead men, that is, they were just knocked unconscious. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye." Now those keepers were badly shaken, but they didn't need to fear. "For I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified." Now he gives them his message. "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." In other gospels we're told about how they did that. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." I know that you seek Jesus, and he is available now. And now we read in verse 8, "They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." Quickly in their excitement, fear in their reverence and in being deeply moved, and great joy. And we read, "They did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met with them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. He said, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren." And that's the word of the living Lord to us today. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts as we think on these things. Show us more and more of this truth. Help us to grow in it. And bless us in the truth of the living Lord Jesus Christ, who came for us. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.